Good afternoon. It is, we're convening the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services. It's Monday, June 9, 2003. You know, we don't have Rosie and Rosette here with us today.
And under this one, we would have picked
what happened? Where's our mascot? I just noticed
10%
that.
Anything under 10%.
Are we speaking of some to release farmland critters?
What we have in this subcommittee, I forget, this is our first time.
Let's start, Madam Chair.
Yes. We explain, in this subcommittee, we are making every effort to discontinue use of acronyms. And so when individuals use acronyms in this subcommittee, Rosie and Rosette, who sits there, collects monies, and not coin monies. Mm-hmm. Rosie and Rosette collects greenbacks. And those greenbacks, at the end of session, will go to the Oregon Food Bank. So this committee is very mindful of the needs of citizens, and so they're probably locked up someplace.
Well, Madam Chair, if I might offer a substitute opportunity here, I would be happy to donate a coffee cup to the collection
we can do that.
Here, and then since it was my failure.
And my other housekeeping item is that, of course, everyone knows that I say if you have any cell phones on you, please make sure that they're turned off so that you don't disrupt the proceedings. However, in this committee, I think we do a lot of disruption, both with laughter at times, as well as making certain that Rosie and Rosette are affectionately contributed to. So with that, we're going to
Madam Chair, how about if we have a cell phone on our person, we have to leave.
Do you have one?
I'll leave.
We're having public hearing work session on House Bill 2522. We're waiting for a couple of House members who were either still in their caucuses, and Senator Carter had to go to the doctor today, this afternoon. So, you know, if you read in the paper this morning, this session has had a lot of illnesses and medical issues this year, I think more than we've had in previous sessions. And we hope that everything is fine with Senator Carter. With that, I'll open the public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2522. And I know that Aaron Kelly Seals is here to speak to us from the governor's office. So, Aaron, why don't you come up? And I also understand that she has some guests with her. Is that your grandparents?
That's right, Madam Chair. My grandparents are
visiting
from San Antonio, from Texas.
All the way from welcome to Oregon, and we knew that she was awfully vibrant today for a special reason, and so we're glad that you're here. Go ahead, Erin.
I wonder, Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Erin Kelly Seal, and I'm the governor's policy advisor on issues relating to health and human services. I wonder, Madam Chair, if Jen Dennison should join me
since she's going to give some background on the bill. Too.
Okay.
And Madam Chair,
yes.
Is it inappropriate to ask the special reason that Aaron is so vibrant today?
Because her grandparents are here visiting. You know, we always put on our best.
Very
when
good.
When our grandparents are
that
here.
That is a special reason.
You know, that is very special because grandparents are very special in the lives of all children.
We were told to behave.
And we understand that. You know, as a grandparent myself, it is wonderful being a grandparent. You get to do all the things to your grandchildren that you saved that you didn't do with your own children. And you get to spoil them, and then you get to send them home. You get all that. Those are special. It's special being a grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I see all the heads nodding out there. So we knew why Erin was smiling, because she's being adored today by her grandparents. I'm not going to embarrass her anymore.
Okay, thank you. I may let Jen start us off because she has more of the background and history that has resulted in House Bill 2522, as does the chair. And I will fill in, and the purpose of me being here, I'll just say, first of all, is to express the governor's support for this bill.
Thank you, Aaron. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jen Dennison, the Administrator of the Governor's Advocacy Office, Department of Human Services. This is my fourth session in talking about the Ombudsman bills. I'm very thrilled with this process for this session because it's been inclusive. Every Ombudsman program was part of the decision-making process. The Governor's Office was involved. I think we all are in agreement that for us, this is the best way to go. For the Department of Human Services in my office specifically, we have two programs within my office that are under statute, what used to be referred to as the Ombudsman for OMAP, which is the over 65 and disabled population on the health plan piece, and then the Children's Ombudsman, which we do through an interagency agreement with the Commission on Children and Families. This cleans up a lot of things and officially places it within the Governor's Advocacy Office. So I'm very pleased with that process. It also pleases me so much to have had an active role in talking about this piece of legislation and to have the Governor's Office involved in supporting it through this session.
The bill as it stands would impact the Governor's Office by having the Governor concur with the appointing and terminating of the Ombudsman for the Department of Human Services and the Department of Consumer and Business Services. It also would require that Ombudsman from the Department of Human Services. See, I brought some money because several agencies are named here, and I just figure I should just go ahead. If I could use the acronyms, I'd go so much more quickly. DHS, DCBS, the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, Corrections, ODOT, and DEQ will require that those ombudsmen or any other person designated to perform an ombudsman function by an agency or officer of the executive department provide quarterly reports to the governor's office summarizing their services and any recommendations. The idea behind this reporting structure was twofold. First of all, the governor believes that the ombudsman functions are incredibly important and serve Oregonians well as they're currently structured, meaning independently housed in their respective agencies. But there was a concern that at this point in time was no reporting requirement or accountability directly to the governor, him or herself. And what this bill will do will set up that reporting structure and that accountability and also give the ombudsman a voice directly connected to our office to talk with us about any trends they might observe, things that may need to be addressed and provide direct recommendations to our office as to how they can improve their services. Our office will, as we said, receive the quarterly reports. We're going to set up a timeline by which to receive the reports. We're also going to set up a structure internally for their review. I believe that individual policy advisors will be reviewing the reports themselves to then report to the governor himself about what we review and observe inside each report. So we just wanted to go on record as saying thank you to Senator Winters, who has been very supportive of this effort this session, and also echo the words of Ms. Dennison to say that this has been a very collaborative process. It's our understanding that each of the ombudsman offices are supportive of this idea and of this bill.
Any questions?
Madam Chair?
Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Very appreciative of all of the work that has gone toward getting us to this point. I have an observation, and I would just like to hear your comments, if you would, and also the comments of Madam Chair, given her long history and knowledge of the ombudsman role in government. I note in looking at the staff measure summary that has been prepared for us that over a period of time, the executive branch has had positions serving under the title ombudsman or ombudsperson. But there's still no statutory definition of the term. And I'm just wondering if you could comment on whether that is that a problem or not? Is that something that needs to be addressed at some point in the future? What are your various understandings of that term of art.
Actually, and I'll respond, Senator Courtney must be talking about me right now. We really do need a definition and of the ombudsman. One of the concerns that I had when I came back into public policy, having served on the executive side and having been the ombudsman, and then returning and seeing the proliferation throughout the agencies without a definition of what an ombudsman should or should not be. And I think at some point this body needs to address it. Last session we attempted to look at it and address it and couldn't come to some agreement. But I do think that we need to go there. It is a very important role for government to have open access for its citizens. And the ombudsman helped to do that. They also assist, and that's a reason for this bill, often with the information that they receive are able to look at trends and clusters and patterns of problems, and they need to be able to present those to the policymakers and not wait till we come back here in session to have their concerns and those issues raised. And that was the reason for this bill. Mm-hmm. They also need, I believe, to be able to have the freedom inside of their respective agencies with which to investigate those concerns that they receive. And with this bill, it allows them to continue that. It allows them to have access to that information. One of the things when I talked to Governor Kulongoski, when he first came back into when he was elected, he and I sat down, and we talked about that we needed to bring back trust to this institution. And the ombudsman is one tool, if you will, that helps us to do that because it provides citizens an access to their government, and an access that says that it's not the fox watching the hen house approach. It is where we truly believe that your concerns need to be met, and they play a vital role in that. They're not they should not be a part of the policy structure that says I don't have the freedom, if I know something is wrong, not to say what is wrong inside of government. And we as legislators need to make sure that they have those kinds of tools with which to express those. When I was the ombudsman as a part of the governor's office, of course, we had the freedom of movement, but we've never in Oregon have come to grips with creating the ombudsman structure that I think that it deserves. And the individuals who work with the agencies and inside the agencies, I think, deserve our support in the work that they do, and we need to elevate them to a level that where I think they can be more appreciated.
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, members of the committee, I think this bill is a great starting place in defining and putting in place an ombudsman structure. I think we can take a lot from the national model, and staff did some work in last session in putting together a review of all the programs, and I think from that there is some good information that could be a continuum to enhance this piece of legislation as we go on. And I think that we're to the point where we are now in actually putting ombudsman structures in statute so that we're all inclusive and not a piecemeal is just a major event. But I think we have wrinkles to work out. And as Madam Chair mentioned, when you are governor's staff, as I was with Goldschmidt and Roberts, where we actually did it within the structure of the governor's office, you had more authority and a direct line of communication than you do house in the agencies, and I think this bill gives us that connection again.
I think we're going to be at, are there any additional questions? Which, by the way, there's no fiscal impact on this particular bill because they're remaining inside of the agencies and their budgets are staying with inside of the agencies. So why don't we stand at ease until the other members arrive? Senator Moore.
Madam Chair, I noticed that we do have a fee schedule with this bill on birth certificates.
Oh, that's how the Children's Ombudsman gets funded. Would you like to ask some questions on that?
Well, my question relates to whether or not this is a revenue requiring a three-fifths majority.
Madam Chair and Senator Morse, no, it is not. The fee that's referred to in the AN Gross bill is the fee that has been in place for a number of years, and it is the funding mechanism for the Office of the Children's Ombudsman that's currently in the State Office of Commission for Children and Families. Part of the second element of the bill is the transfer of that position and its associated funding to the Department of Human Services. In the past several biennia, the Department of Human Services has had a contract, an interagency agreement with Commission on Children and Families to provide the advocacy services. Commission on Children and Families has retained a portion of the fees that it receives from the various registering entities on those death certificate, adoption certificates, marriage, birth, and adoption. Yeah, not death. And so instead of some cut going now to the State Commission on Children and Families, all of that funding would be available to Department of Human Services for the advocacy position that's being transferred. And that element is part of the governor's budget, and it's part of the co-chair's budget recommendations also.
Thank you.
We'll be at ease for until our members show up.
Madam Chair, I would like to share with Ms. Dennison that our office recently received an email from a constituent who just had wonderful and glowing things to say about the assistance that he received from you and your office. This is someone who is dealing with the need for access to prescriptions and felt that he was dealt with in a way that was understanding and compassionate, and just stressed that he felt that he was listened to. I wish I had the email with me to share with you, but it was wonderful to see that and know what you're doing. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Gourley, thank you. Our staff are the most compassionate group of people, and what's so nice is every phone we pick up is another story of pain, and that we've been able to deal with it, maintain our sense of humor and decorum, and be able to move on to the next phone call has just been amazing. We're looking to July. Are we kind of in the lull before the next storm and waiting to see what's going to happen in July? But it's so good to hear that we're doing some positive things, because we don't always hear that.
Well, since we're giving accolades, your office responded incredibly when we went through the in March and all the reductions, and had your office not assisted us in trying to find alternative services for individuals. I know I referred a lot of my constituent work to you. I know other legislators in this building, your name was given out by me to everyone who was having problems out there in the field. So I personally want to thank you, and I know other legislators in this building would like to thank you for the work that was done, because we couldn't have gotten through it without you. And that's one of the things about the Ombudsman's Office. Often we think that I have to share another dimension to the work that they do, all of them do, that not only are they resolving citizens' complaints and access to government issues, but they also are a wealth of information when it comes to possible policy changes. And I think sometimes we forget that dimension of that resource that they can bring to bear. I know when I was the ombudsman, the reason that you have the huge food bank network that we do today was because of the issues that came to me as the ombudsman. And as a result of all of those complaints, the policy decision was made that Oregon could not wait for the federal government to react, and we had to react, be proactive, and to address the issue of hunger in this state. And so out of that, there's some things that happens inside of there that I think we forget about, whether we're talking about programs or whether we're talking about the development of a policy that corrects issues. I know the ombudsman, the long-term care ombudsman, that the work that they do, you know, ends up identifying broad-based policy issues. So that was another reason of wanting to elevate them and to make sure that they had access to the governor's office.
Madam Chair, while you're sharing compliments, I have to compliment the director and deputy director of our department, because what's happening internally, and this touches on your policy piece, they really have tapped into what's happening in our office, what we're hearing, what we're doing, as well as the new function within the structure of the Department of Human Services. And it's really been like a breath of fresh air all the way down the line, that everybody is listening and wants information. And in fact, we revamped our intake form so that the reporting process to each of our cluster groups is going to be easier for them to get data, which should also help in the reporting process to the governor's office when this bill does go through.
Jen, how many staff do you have?
You want real or pretend?
Real.
Madam Chair, we have 4 real, 1 on-job rotation. We've had 4 temporaries that will end the end of June.
And how many transactions do you deal with on a monthly basis?
It's in the thousands, but I couldn't tell you how many. Mm-hmm. And also, Madam Chair, keeping in mind, we also have the pain management program and the ADA alternate format programs, which I administer.
Hey, your money.
Did I say it? I said that 30
times.
I owe you a whole lot of money because I'm clean without that. Madam Chair knows how to collect, however.
But I just point out, because they do a lot with a small staff. You know, all the offices do. We find that they do a lot of red tape cutting for us.
And, Madam Chair, we've run a split shift until this week. We're going to have to cut back because we've lost some of our job rotation folks because they've obtained real employment. And so we're down to fewer staff. So we were working from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and now it's going to be 8 to 5:30. Because we just don't have the staff now to cover it that late.
Okay. Yeah, my members are late. Thank you very much for your testimony. I think now I'm going to just
recess this,
and then I'm going to open for Cindy. I'll open there, Cindy. I'll open Senate Bill 5531, the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, so that I'm not keeping all of you in a long time, and hopefully the members will begin to come in. I think we have Director Scott here. Is he, did he leave?
He was not on the floor today. He was excused.
I think he was excused.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
You mean it's that bad? We don't know what day we are.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, in front of you, you should have a packet of the work session papers for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Starting out with reductions, it ended up to be a 1.5% reduction from the governor's balanced budget to the LFO recommendation. And I'll go ahead and start with the technical adjustments. The total technical adjustments reduced the budget by a total of $31,088. Inflation was reduced by $7,189. Merit increases by $18,120. There were no vacancies for savings. The Attorney General assessment reduction was $726. The DAS reduction was $5,053, again for a total of $31,088. There were no policy enhancements requested with this budget, and LFO recommends approve the budget bill in the amount of $2,013,985 with 8 FTE by approving the following amendments to Senate Bill 5531. Section 1, other general funds. Line 6, delete $587,050 and insert $580,230.
I just have a quick question that I think is one that Meredith can probably answer. Meredith? And it's just a curiosity question.
I'm here to satisfy your curiosity, Madam Chair.
What has been the consistent federal match with this particular program over time? Have they diminished the federal portion?
Madam Chair, the federal portion has not been diminished. The federal portion comes from two sources. One is the Older Americans Act, Title 3B. One is in Title 7 of the Older Americans Act. And then we have Title 19 money, Medicaid, which is matched. What the Title 7 monies from the Older Americans Act are dedicated funds. That is, the federal government basically says these must be used for ombudsman purposes. The Title 3B funds for the program, our statute basically says that the state must direct it a minimum of 1%, and the state just keeps it just right about 1% of the 3B funds of the total state allocation. So in answer to your question, the federal funds have not decreased over time, nor have they increased significantly.
So they've stayed pretty much the same since 1970-something. I was just curious whether they were keeping consistent with their own public policy or whether they were doing some shifts to the state.
Madam Chair, the only good news from the federal front is that the new administration has recognized the value of the Ombudsman Program, and I think that there were increased Title VII dollars that, although the Older Americans Act, I think, increased at a very small percentage or might not have held steady, I think there was somewhat of an increase in the Title VII which may result in some extra Title VII dollars down the line.
So that's good news.
It's always good news when you get money from the federal government.
Well, the good news is when they don't take the reverse. You know, sometimes they push and they'll give us a program, and, you know, this one was created back in the 70s, and, you know, over time they will diminish their support for the activity for the states to begin to pick up more, and that's why I wanted to ask the question where they were still being consistent with this particular program.
They are, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Well, with that, I think we'll go ahead, since we did have this one in for a work session, we'll do Senate Bill 5531, the long-term care ombudsman's budget first, and then go back to the other bill, if that's all right with members. And are there any questions of either Ms. Meredith or, Notton is here to join us. No questions. Want to go on with your recommendation?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends approval of the budget bill in the amount of $2,013,985 and 8 FTE by approving the following amendments to Senate Bill 5531. Section 1, General Fund, Line 6, delete $587,050 and insert $580,230,000.
I think that the Representative Westland moves.
Madam Chair, I absolutely move the bill to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
Representative Westland moves the budget bill in the amount of $2,013,985 and 8.0 FTE and the amendment as described by LFO. Are there any objections?
I do have a comment, Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I stand today ready to support Senate Bill 5531. However, I am concerned that this is terribly inadequate for the work that's being done, and that's a follow-up on the comments that you started just a little bit earlier. If you look at the work that's being done with 8 FTE, it's a job well done, and I commend you for the work you folks are doing. The concern that I have is, in this time, you know the caseload is significantly greater. You know the type of request is significantly more stressful. And to ask them to do more with a little less is difficult. So I'm prepared to support this. I did want to say that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Without repeating the good representative, I'd just like to be associated with those remarks, and I will be supporting the budget.
Any other comments? I'm glad that you guys support my ombudsman concept. I really, truly am. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you recognize the work that the ombudsman's office, the various offices do. I don't, you know, whether we're talking about the long-term care ombudsman or whether it is the advocacy office or we're talking about DCBS, I owe money. But they all really do a very good service for all of us. They not only work on behalf of the executive branch, but I know that all of us also refer cases to them to work for us. So I think you hear our heartfelt thank yous from this panel. With that, is there any objection? Hearing none. Thank you. We will now we'll go back and open up the work. Carrie, let's have Representative Smith. Would you like to carry it?
Madam Chair, the performance measure.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're ahead of ourselves. Performance measures.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the agency performance measures can be found on page 41 of the Governor's Balanced Budget Binder, and LFO recommends approval of the performance measures as submitted by the agency.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley moves that we accept the performance measures as submitted by the agency. Any objection? Senator Gordley, would you carry?
Ending balance.
Go ahead.
The 2003-05 governor's balance budget shifts $15,000 of the $29,959 other funds beginning balance to replace a like amount of general fund, leaving an ending balance of $14,959.
Senator Gordley.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley moves that we move Senate Bill 5531 as amended to the full committee on ways and means. Any objection? Senator Gordley. Just another comment. Last session when we were going through the budget, this agency was the one that also came to us and offered up the efficiency. So thank you very much. Adrian.
Madam Chair, I believe that the general discussion of what the bill does, that bill being House Bill 2522.
So we're back in work session on House Bill 2522.
Has probably amply been discussed as to what its effects are. That is, there are two portions. One is to effect the transfer of the children's ombudsman, rename it to the children's advocate. That deals with the issue of what is an ombudsman, and moves it from the Office of the State Commission on Children and Families to the Department of Human Services, which is the agency that's been providing that advocacy service for a number of years. The other portion does, as you discussed, have the issues of having certain ombudsmen being appointed by the department directors, but with the concurrence of the governor, and having those ombudsmen make quarterly reports to the governor's office. That element of the measure has no fiscal effect. It does require reporting, which may not currently be taking place with as much frequency or to the same jurisdiction, but the agencies have indicated that they will comply with those directions. There are no amendments that have been provided to me for purposes of the bill. I don't know that any member of the committee subcommittee has any. And with that, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation is that the subcommittee move House Bill 2522A and gross to the full Ways and Means Committee for the due pass recommendation.
Senator Gordley moves a House bill that we recommend, House Bill 5522, to the full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation. Any objections? Who would like to carry on the House? Greg?
Go ahead.
Senate?
Go ahead.
Gordley.
Okay. Full committee?
Full committee. Senator Gordley. Yeah. Tomorrow. Let's see, before we adjourn, tomorrow we have House Bill 2288 relating to Type B hospitals, no, area agents on aging. No, that's a hospital.
I believe you have a revised agenda in, that was
Type B area agents.
Put here, yes.
You do? Gee, things happen fast around here.
Yeah.
Well, we have House Bill 2288, and so review that before coming tomorrow. Yep. And then on Wednesday, we have several grant applications, fetal alcohol syndrome,
that's
severe acute respiratory syndrome, better known as SARS, staph infection, rural access to emergency devices, and then on Thursday, Comprehensive Neuroscience Incorporated, and I believe we had them before us before, and our time was so limited that we weren't able to really get a good discussion and good information from them, so they're coming back. I would also ask if you have some bills that are of interest to you that are down here in Ways and Means, please let me know about them so I can request them from the co-chair so that we can get them scheduled. You know, as we get closer to the end of session, if we don't get those on and scheduled to be heard, they end up dying in the bone pile. So please get them to me. I've requested a whole list of them today, but if you have any additional, if you have any ones, let me know, and I will start bugging the co-chairs.
Thank you.
With that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.